Today on Life Talk.
We need roots. We need to get into the Word of God and find out who Jesus really was and is, who we are in Christ, what He's done for us. We need to put down deep roots. I want deeper roots than I do fruit up this way. I want to grow deeper down than I do up, because deeper the roots, the stronger you are.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Life Talk Radio broadcast. We're going to begin a brand new series today that I'm excited about. It's based on some of the things Jesus taught in parables about the kingdom of heaven. One of the Lord's repeated themes was to talk about what exactly the kingdom of heaven is like, how it operates, and how it's recognized. So in the next few days, we're going to explore the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and tares, and the parable of the mustard seed. I pray this brand new study opens our eyes with new insights and really blesses us with fresh understanding regarding the kingdom of heaven, of which all Christians are a part. So let's get started as I share the first message from the parable of the sower I've called The Man That Made It.
You know, Jesus compared the Word of God to a seed. In Matthew 13, what we're about to look at, Jesus gave eight parables. And Matthew 13 is sort of the hinge upon which the rest of the New Testament swings. That is, after giving these eight parables, Jesus starts heading to Jerusalem and heading to the cross. So Matthew 13 is pivotal. He gives eight parables, four from a boat and four from a house. But all at once, it's amazing what flowed out of our Savior. Ad lib, on the spot, no notes. And he tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a seed that is planted in your heart and mine. And the seed is planted, the Word of God is planted in hopes that we bear fruit. Jesus said, you didn't pick me, I picked you. Amen? None of us would have ever come to him if he hadn't tapped us first. And so he said, here's why I picked you, that you would go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit would remain. So the Word of God sown into our hearts like a seed is intended to bring forth fruit. Now, I want to start with the first parable, and I'm dealing with only this today. The first parable among the eight. And it's called the parable of the sower, but I'm going to call it the man that made it. Because out of four people that receive the seed, only one is successful. Like, yikes. Now, he told us about the other three, so we would not be like them. But we would be like the last one that fell on good ground. How many of you want to be good soil and bring forth fruit? All right? So let's read Matthew 13, starting at verse 3. He begins his parables. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path. And the birds came, and they ate it up. Then some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was what? Verse 6, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they didn't have any root. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And now verse 8, we come to the fourth person that hears the word. Still other seed fell on good soil. We want this to be you and me. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Different people produce different levels of fruit But at least this fourth one was fruitful. Amen? And so today, I'm going to share this message in hopes that every last one of us will be in the fourth group, and we will bring forth fruit, and our fruit will remain. But now, our Savior taught in parables. Now, the reason he taught in parables was because he made, through parables, he made complex truth easy to understand. So the definition of a parable, I love this definition. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable is an earthly story drawn from everyday life with a heavenly meaning. Jesus taught in parables so that we could easily grasp it and understand it. And how much easier can you get than a farmer who goes out with a sack of seed and he's just sowing it as he goes? We all understand that, right? So Jesus takes this first parable of eight to tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. And when you read the eight parables, you start coming to a conclusion that they prod us to ask this question: what am I going to do with Jesus? Where am I going to fit in the kingdom of God he keeps talking about? Because Jesus talked about the kingdom of God over and over. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not what you eat, it's not what you drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. He meant, I'm here, so the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now, with these eight parables, he says repeatedly, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And he would give a parable so that we understand the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, with the parable of the sower, did you know that the Bible says that if you understand this one, Jesus said this, if you understand this first parable, you can understand them all. If you can't understand this one, you can't understand the rest. So this first parable is pivotal to all the rest. So we're going to understand it today. Now, in the first parable, the parable of the sower, we have four people who hear exactly the same message. Four people hear the same thing. And what they hear primarily is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they hear. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the seed that is sown in the hearts of men and women. That's the gospel. When you heard the gospel, it was a seed sown into your heart. And you had a response, either receive it or reject it. And I'm assuming most everybody in here accepted it. And the seed went down into the soil of your heart and it bore fruit. Amen. And so the soil the seed is sown into is the heart. It's the heart of men and women. When we hear the gospel, we don't just hear it in our head, but it reaches down and it goes into our heart and it's sown into our heart because Jesus is about to give us four different kinds of soil or four different types of hearts and what they do with the word of God. Now, the sower in the parable is Jesus Christ. And of course, once he ascended and went back to heaven, he turned sowing over to us. And now we sow the gospel. Right now, I'm sowing the word of God into your heart, and it's going to have an effect. It's either going to be accepted or rejected, responded to or not, obeyed or not. But it's a seed, supernatural seed. Peter said, we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Now, he shared this from a boat, and when the disciples got him alone, they said, man, explain this to us. We don't get it. And so in a house, privately, Jesus said, all right, I'll explain the parable to you. So let's begin with the first man. Jesus said, here's the meaning. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means, said Jesus. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, now watch that word because that's this first listener's problem. He doesn't understand the claims of the gospel. He's hung up not understanding it. We're going to find when we get to the fourth man, the very first thing that's said about the guy with the good soil is he understood what he heard. You find in the Bible that understanding the word and a hard heart go together. If you don't understand it, your heart is hard. If you understand it, your heart gets softened. So he says, this man doesn't understand it. And the evil one comes Look at the devil. He sees he doesn't understand it, and the evil one comes and steals away, snatches away what was sown in their heart. And this is the seed sown along the path. Now, all we need to understand about this first guy, and I'm calling him Mr. Clueless, because Mr. Clueless does not understand what he just heard. We don't know. Jesus doesn't tell us what he doesn't understand, but we can guess. Maybe he didn't understand that Jesus was the only way. Maybe he didn't understand that he needed to repent. Maybe he didn't understand that he had sin that needed to be washed away. Whatever it is, he didn't understand it. And because he didn't understand it, the devil was able to come and snatch it out of his heart before he was even able to dwell on it for another day. Now, the Greek language suggests here that the reason he didn't understand it is because he was careless with what he heard. In other words, he took it flippantly. He took it carelessly. He just said, you know what? I got other things to think about. He didn't take it seriously. He didn't take it to heart. He didn't turn it over in his mind. He didn't consider the claims of Christ. He didn't consider what Jesus had said about himself. It just went in one ear and out the other. He didn't understand it. And because he took it carelessly and flippantly, then the Bible says the devil reached in and snatched it, and this man was never saved. He never got saved because the word was stolen from his heart. You know, sometimes we have one chance to get saved. Sometimes we hear the gospel one time. A lot of people hear it a lot of times, but sometimes we only hear it one time. And the devil is always watching to see if he's going to be able to steal what we have heard away from our thinking. And some people hear the word of God in church, and by the time they get home, they have forgotten what they heard. So Mr. Clueless did not get saved because he didn't understand it. He didn't think about it, and therefore it was stolen from him.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
But now we come to the second man. And Jesus said the second man is like this: the seed falling on rocky ground. Refers to somebody who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Now this one, he hears it and he receives it with joy. He didn't just, well, one ear and out the other. He says, wow, I like what I'm hearing. Whereas the first man was clueless, Jesus said, though he receives it with joy, since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble, watch this, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, what happens to them? They quickly fall away. And what was their problem? They had no roots. So first we had Mr. Clueless. Here we have Mr. Rootless. Now let me tell you how important roots are. Oh, roots are so important. You remember that series, Roots? Remember that? I remember it so well. But there's another kind of root. Spiritual roots. And every seed puts down roots. If you leave a seed in the ground, it's going to grow down first and then it goes up. As goes the root, so goes the fruit. As the roots go down, the tree or whatever it is grows up. But this man was all about emotion because look, he received it with joy. He is excited. I mean, he's saying, oh, hallelujah. I've got a promise of heaven. I've got a Savior that died for me. I've got an opportunity for a brand new life. This is great. I like Jesus. He's a cool guy to follow. And he's excited. But then trouble comes. Somebody makes fun of him. Somebody mocks him, ridicules him, makes a joke about him, or he pays some kind of a price socially for his faith. And before you know it, he says, you know what? I didn't bargain for this. I didn't get in for this. I liked everything Jesus did for me, but hey, I'm not willing to experience any pain. I'm not going to pick up any cross and follow him. I'm not going to do any of that. I like Jesus as long as he's feeding me and taking care of me, But when it comes to experiencing some persecution, no way. And it says he immediately, quickly fell away. So it was all an emotional trip. Now, I'm all for emotion. I get very emotional about God. I'm so emotional. I love Jesus. How about you? I don't love him perfectly, but I love him sincerely. And so that's an emotion. But see, I love emotion. I love jumping high for Jesus, but my calling is to help you walk steady once you hit the ground. See, because we need roots. We need to get into the Word of God and find out who Jesus really was and is, who we are in Christ, what he's done for us. We need to put down deep roots. I want deeper roots than I do fruit up this way. I want to grow deeper down than I do up, because deeper the roots, the stronger you are. But this man never put down roots because there were rocks in the soil. In other words, there were obstacles in his heart. Things were in his heart that got in the way of the seed of the Word of God putting down roots. The rocks might have been unconfessed sin. Maybe he didn't confess sin that he knew he needed to get rid of. And it's a rock in his heart, and it's blocking the growth of the Word of God and putting down the roots. It could be that he had some worldly attachments. Jesus said the soil of his heart was rocky. Something was in the way. Things were stopping the roots from going down. And I know what that's like. You can get an attachment you shouldn't have. You can have something unconfessed that you know you need to get rid of. And until you do, you really can't grow spiritually. And so Jesus is pointing out here about Mr. Rootless. He's saying his problem was rocky soil. He doesn't tell us what it was. It could have been some idol in his life. Something, the bottom line is this: Jesus was not on the throne of this man's heart. So the seed of the Word of God could not put down roots. You know, a tree can be stately and beautiful and majestic and look incredible. But when a storm comes, all that really matters with that tree is not the way that it looks, but how deep are its roots? Because when that wind begins to blow and the floods hit against that tree and the rain begins to fall and trouble comes and you lose that job or you get a bad doctor's report or somebody walks out on you and the winds of trial blow, then it's how deep are your roots? Jesus said because he has no roots, when the storms come, they blow him over. He's uprooted and he quickly falls away. So you've got Mr. Clueless, you got Mr. Rootless, but now we come to the third man. Jesus said the seed falling among the thorns refers to somebody who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Choke the word. This man receives it. This man starts to grow. But there's something growing up right alongside his spiritual growth, and it is a thorn bush. And I just picture the way Jesus described this, because the word choke is the word we would talk about choking somebody. So here's this thorn bush, these thorns, and as this man is trying to grow, they are literally grabbing his spiritual growth by the throat and choking the life out of his spiritual walk so that he's not bringing forth any fruit. Clueless, rootless, fruitless. Jesus is giving us these three different people so that we will look at them and learn from them and not do what they did. This man hears the word of the gospel, whereas the first one didn't understand it, and the second one had no roots. This one is constantly distracted by worries and chasing after money. Now, I saw something this week. As a matter of fact, Matthew 13 is the first message I ever preached in my life. First time I went to preach, it was on Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, way back. But I saw something this week I've never seen, what this man's problem really was. His problem was he was still clinging to a worldly value system. Because it says he's constantly worried about this, that, and the other, so that tells me he's not in prayer, and he's got his life all messed up in things that are causing him to lose sleep. He's making decisions. They are monetary in nature primarily because we're told that he's chasing after riches. He's all about money. He's chasing after worldly things. He wants that new car, new house, new raise, new job, new location. He wants the status. The values of the kingdom are not his. He's received the king of the kingdom, but not the values of the king of the kingdom. Can I tell you today, church, how crucial it is? Oh, hear me on this one. That when we get saved, we ought to undergo immediately the renewing of our mind. And when the renewing of the mind happens, that means you are giving up worldly values for kingdom values. Worldly values for kingdom values. This man has the king of the kingdom, but not the values of the kingdom. And I've seen people like this a lot. We get saved, we get our fire insurance, we know we're going to heaven when Jesus comes, but we never allow the word of God to renovate and renew and change and transform our values. Values of the kingdom like this: putting Jesus first, putting Jesus first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus demands being first. If you love father, mother, whatever, more than me, you're not worthy of me. I want to be first on the throne of your life. I want to be first on the throne of your heart. Christianity doesn't work if Jesus is not on the throne. It's true. See, a car only works if you put the key in and turn it. Christianity only works if you put Jesus on the throne of your life. Otherwise, Christianity is a burden and a hassle and a bummer, because you're trying to carry the demands of the kingdom all by yourself. But when Jesus is on the throne of your life and you're picking up your cross and following him and seeking him, and he's numero uno and you are in love with him and nobody and no thing is above him in your life, then you are postured for a blessing. But this wasn't his value. His value was chasing stuff, not being materialistic. That's a value of the kingdom. The importance of spiritual growth, that's a kingdom value. God's will for all of us primarily is that we grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that's a kingdom value. For this guy, it's all about what you own, your status in life, the way others perceive you, who you are, what block you live on, what you're driving. While Jesus' value system says, put the kingdom of God first, this man's value system said, put yourself first. You know, number one, that's the culture we live in. Who's number one in your life? Me, myself, I am. I look in the mirror and I sing, there is none like you. I'm number one. I take care of number one first. I put number one first above all others. But Jesus said, no, put me first. Put the kingdom first. That's the kingdom value. Jesus said, life is not defined by what you have. Luke 12:15. Life is not defined by what you have. But this man's value system said, I am measured by what I own. I am what I own. I am what I possess. The measure of my life is what I possess. And that's a worldly value system, because you are not what you possess. You are what you are in the kingdom of God, and you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a called out people. You are not what you own. You are who you are in the kingdom of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. I know people have been in Christ 20 years, 30 years, and it's still all about what I own, what I'm chasing, what I have, what I live in, what I drive. But you know what? Success is not dying with a big bank account. Success, even if you die in a little shack on the other side of the world, if you were doing the will of God for your life, you were a success. Mr. Fruitless is the person who says, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh yeah, you got it. I'm saved. I'm an American and I love mom and apple pie too. I'll just have to take care of the spiritual side of life later. That's Mr. Fruitless. So clueless, rootless, fruitless. Three failures right in a row.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.